Hello, everyone. This is the Podcast of Honor, where we break down all the Ring of Honor news, and there is a ton of news to get into. My name is Chris Gisti. I'm the web admin. I am joined by Ari Berenstein. Ari, how are you doing, sir?
I am trying to learn how to speak concisely. How are you?
Good. Good. And we're also joined by Jerome Cuson, the senior editor of PWPonderings.com. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
I mean, since I don't have any more writing to do, I might as well just do these podcasts, right?
Oh, well, obviously, you could write about CM Punk for all we care. Maybe.
No, Chris, I'm not going to do that.
That's good.
Well, hi, Jack.
Although my sources are telling me that CM Punk is riding his bicycle right now. In Chicago.
He's on a bicycle.
In the snow. That's what he's doing right now. Sources. Reliable sources.
News, Jerome. News.
Hashtag scoops.
Exactly. Well, before we delve into the literally myriad of Ring of Honor news that is to get out there, we wanted to mention, of course, the passing of Billy Robinson and our thoughts and prayers to his family. I mean, obviously very influential in professional wrestling. A huge influence on guys like Nigel McGuinness, who's obviously a former Ring of Honor champion and the matchmaker of Ring of Honor right now. So wanted to get that and state that. And, of course, check out a lot of stuff on YouTube. I think I saw everyone on Twitter when the news broke just tweeting all these matches. So go check them out. Lots of stuff out there. But, guys, I think it's pretty obvious the biggest piece of news. Ari, you've written at least 4 columns about this. Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling, they have come to an agreement. They're sending talent over, and not just any talent, as Dez and I talked about in the newscast. They're sending some star talent to America. We're talking about their champion, Okada, their Intercontinental champion, Tanahashi, Nakamura, Jado and Gato. Liger, he was in the video. I mean, I haven't really seen anyone say that he's official, but he was in there. And then, of course, the Young Bucks, Carl Anderson, are all assumed to be coming as well, part of the Bullet Club stable. No Prince Devitt yet. Obviously, there's a visa issues going on there. So, Ari, since you've written so many columns and everyone can check them out, your little column of honors over at pwponderings.com, just give your overall thoughts on this. I mean, obviously, this is huge. Ring of Honor has had working relationships with Noah, All Japan, just... you know, Dragon Gate back in the day. So, you know, this is a big step for them.
Yes, and by the way, the joke I made at the start of the show is because I am actually back writing not big epic column of honors, but little column of honors. So little concise. Ha 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 ha. The New Japan shows that were announced, obviously, as you guys said on the newscast. Huge announcements, very exciting stuff, and I think obviously the buzz was immediate. This is a very smart decision because New Japan, I think, is probably the most well connected from the Japanese promotions as far as, you know, having an impact on American independent or hardcore independent fans on the internet who are also probably watching or know about Ring of Honor. And you know, obviously the days of, you know, obviously Dragon Gate is not, you can't touch him right now because of the Gates connection. Noah is not what it once was. All Japan is, and Wrestle One is with TNA. Japan is a shade of what it once was. So New Japan is sort of a stroke of genius, a master coup, or if you will. And I think putting the shows in Toronto and New York were really smart. Those are two of their biggest venues. Toronto is a rabid audience. They do every year the Border Wars shows in May. It's become essentially an annual tradition. So now that becomes Global Wars. And, you know, the Border Wars shows had guest stars like Lance Storm and Fit Manley and stuff like that in previous years. And, you know, now you've got all these guest stars coming in. And then New York is always one of the big towns for Ring of Honor. And so it makes sense to bring the New Japan stars there. The buzz is definitely there. They're almost sold out already of the lower balcony and the ground floor. They've opened up the upper balcony, although I guess there's a side story we can talk about later as far as that goes. Some issues there. But this is all exciting stuff. I think the potential for seeing Ring of Honor versus New Japan matches is excellent. Tanahashi and Okada are in the prime of their careers, doing their best work. I mean, this is the equivalent of when Kenta and Marufuji came in the prime of their careers, or Kenta Kobashi, and not quite Kenta Kobashi and Misawa in terms of their reputation, but I mean, they're getting it done, and I think everyone really wants to see them get matched up against the top quality Ring of Honor talent. I think there's also a set of fans who want to see some New Japan versus New Japan matches. So I guess we can talk about what you guys want to see, whether it's one or the other or both. But this can be nothing but good news for them.
Jerome, as senior editor, you've been doing a lot of stuff, a lot of changes coming to the website, so you haven't been doing as much writing. So what are your thoughts on this? I mean, this is really big news. I think this has even garnered more of your interest in Ring of Honor than in the recent past.
Well, you know, I think just even if it was just Tanahashi and Okada, I think it's a big deal, because I would argue that these are the two best wrestlers in the world right now. Okada is the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Tanahashi is the Intercontinental Champion of New Japan. What's really interesting is that, you know, New Japan has such confidence in both of these guys that they're sort of each main eventing the pay-per-views. They basically turned their pay-per-views into double shots themselves, and Okada is main eventing one show, and Tanahashi is main eventing the other. So it's a really big deal. New Japan is a very hot product in Japan right now, and I think this is a really big deal, a really big coup for Ring of Honor. You know, obviously a lot of things have changed in the 9 years since Ring of Honor had a relationship with New Japan, and we got the very infamous Best of the Super Junior show with Dragon Soldier B winning that. Tons of things have changed. I am sure that with New Japan becoming interested in sort of breaking into the United States, that they're going to take this very seriously. And the shows in Toronto and New York are a big step towards New Japan getting a hold in the United States, because New Japan does not have to really promote their own talent on their own shows. Ring of Honor can carry a lot of that legwork. And, you know, I think the people in Toronto and New York have obviously shown their support for Ring of Honor over the years. So those are the two smart markets to bring it in. I think Chicago and Philadelphia are not nearly as strong as they used to be 4 or 5 years ago. I think Toronto is probably, I would say, as far as a response standpoint, you know, obviously New York can hold the most people. The Hammerstein Ballroom can hold, I think, 2,500. But I think from a fan response standpoint, you can't argue with putting the other show in Toronto. And, you know, I think this is a really big deal for Ring of Honor. I think it's going to bring in a lot of extra eyeballs from wrestling fans in Japan and for wrestling fans here in the States who maybe they've never seen Okada or Tanahashi before. You know, they're not going to stay up at 4 a.m. and go to Ustream and get the New Japan pay-per-views, or maybe the, you know, fact that there's no English commentary or whatever. And, you know, there are definitely some fans, I'm sure, of Ring of Honor who are also watching the New Japan shows, or at least casually watching some of the bigger ones. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest put on these two shows. And hopefully Ring of Honor is smart enough to consider adding either another Toronto show or a show in, you know, maybe Philadelphia or another show in New York. Because I think there is, given the talent that is involved, I think there is more than enough potential matchups to do Tanahashi versus Elgin or Okada versus Cole or something like that. Because, you know, I think one of the other important aspects of the shows is how is this going to sort of affect the rest of the card. You know, Jay Briscoe, we're going to talk about sort of his situation soon. But Kevin Steen has a Ring of Honor title match. Michael Elgin has a Ring of Honor title match, I believe. Or if not, then he is definitely in line for a title match very soon. So that also, I'm sure, will play into the decisions So I don't know if you guys want to talk about the potential matchups that we want to see next.
We can definitely get into that. I mean, of course, before we get to the New York and Toronto shows, there are several shows out there, including Milwaukee and Chicago this weekend, Jerome, which you'll be at, and of course, Supercard of Honor. So yeah, why don't we talk about that going in? I mean, we all watched before. We watched State of the Art and 12th Anniversary. We'll be talking about those as well. And obviously, some matches came out of that. For the State of the Art, before I get your guys' thoughts, some of the major matches there. The Proving Ground match where ACH and TD Thomas defeated the Ring of Honor tag champs to get their title shot at 12th Anniversary. And then in the main event, the four-way number one contenders match, Kevin Steen defeating Ciampa, Lethal, and Elgin to win a future title shot as well. So, you know, there was, I don't want to say confusion, but you do have Jay Briscoe going up at Supercard of Honor, supposedly. We'll get into TV spoilers a little bit later on, but he'll be the facing the champion, whoever the champion is by that time. And then, of course, Kevin Steen has a future title shot on 12th Anniversary. I mean, it all kind of came to a head. You know, I think we'll get into that as well, the fact that there was a world championship match with Hiro and then the unsanctioned match afterwards. That was something. But anyway, before we get there, Jerome, you brought this up, kind of there's a lot of title contenders out there, and I think that's a good thing, really. For Ring of Honor, for the world title, what's supposed to be the most prestigious title in the promotion, I think you should have a lot of contenders.
Well, I think it's much more desirable to have a number of contenders than to really be struggling. I think it really felt like in recent years that Ring of Honor has not done the best job of building up contenders, and I think they've done a much better job with Adam Cole as far as building up contenders for him. And, you know, I think that when we look back at State of the Art, it's, you know, I think it's sort of it's a solid B show. There's really not much to really address. You know, it's tough for me to say people should go out and spend $20 on this DVD. Because we're obviously in a world where WWE Network exists and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's a very solid piece of business from Ring of Honor. I think the San Antonio crowd is very good. It looked very crowded in there, so I can only assume that San Antonio is sort of becoming a reliable place for Ring of Honor to run shows. I think the last two matches were really solid. It was good to see ACH and Tadarius Thomas actually get a win in Ring of Honor. And the crowd was definitely behind those two guys, and ACH winning the way he did got a huge reaction, which is exactly what you want. And the four-way match in the main event was a very entertaining sprint, and Kevin Steen with the victory, earning a title shot, and a very emotional promo that he sort of echoed at the anniversary show as well. And it looks like Steen is sort of getting back into getting, at least trying to get himself back in shape a little bit, maybe trying to focus more on sort of wrestling and, you know, trying to be relevant in Ring of Honor and not really sort of falling by the wayside, as I think tends to happen with some of the champions after they lose the title. I think Steen is really trying to up his game and continue to get better. And he had a match with Kyle O'Reilly from TV. Or actually, it was World's Finest, but it did air on TV the same weekend as the anniversary show. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the best Ring of Honor match I've seen all year. Those two guys really delivered in that match, and it was very, very solid. So yeah, I think State of the Art was a good B show, good house show. I can't really think of a bad match on the show per se. Nothing totally offensive, but yeah, it's really tough to say you should spend $20 on this.
Ari, you've also watched State of the Art. I think I missed, you know, the opening match, of course, was Jay Briscoe defending his real ROH World title against Adam Cole, and he defeated Adam Cole. So that you know, that adds to the story. But Ari, your thoughts on State of the Art, and then, of course, the title contenders. There seems to be a lot of them for Adam Cole.
I think this actually is very much worthy of either picking it up on DVD or doing an MP4 download. Excuse me. This is a lot of fun. This is a very fun B show for Ring of Honor. It was in between Wrestling's Finest, which airs on TV, and the 12th Anniversary show, which is also they're showing episodes now, starting too. But as far as like the in-betweens, I mean, you had ACH and Tadarius winning the Proving Ground match, which got them the title shot for 12th anniversary. And yeah, I do agree with Jerome's assessment. The obviously, ACH is huge in San Antonio. I think he had a great match with Jay Lethal the first time around in San Antonio. And so they pop huge for him, and he gave a great – both of them gave a great effort. I really like – I really like the combination against, you know, Red Dragon. Really, I think if they keep going at it, have one or two more matches between the two, can't go wrong. Kevin Steen, again, to echo Jerome's statements, definitely looked motivated and healthy and prepared in the main event. I like the finish was brutal of the package pile driver of Lethal, I think it was onto either Elgin or Ciampa, I forget, but it was really kind of crazy, kind of a crazy bump, actually, for a house show, for kind of a four-way main event for a title shot, definitely kind of the exclamation point of the match. For me, as you said, Chris, Briscoe opened up by beating Adam Cole for his quote-unquote real-world title, which, I mean, you know, you can kind of take that for what it's worth, but at the least it gives him a little bit of a standing to say, well, again, I haven't been beaten since I had to vacate the title. Nobody's pinned me. I've just pinned the guy who you say is the Ring of Honor champion. So there's obviously they're building all these reasons for everybody to challenge Adam Cole, and that's great. Adam Cole is a great heel champion, and he needs guys to be nipping at his heels. So there's sort of this plethora of face contenders. You've got Steen, who won the title, a title shot, future title shot here. You've got Briscoe, who's got the rights to saying he deserves a title shot. You've got Elgin, who's still in the hunt. You've got AJ Styles still in the hunt. You've got Chris Hero getting another shot at it. So this kind of harkens back to the days where Ring of Honor world champions had multiple title contenders. You know, you could have an A contender, a B contender, a C contender for different shows. And it worked. It was fun because there was this sort of unpredictability where you had potential contenders and they sort of worked their way to bigger and better matches. And then, you know, obviously take like the Bryan Danielson versus Delirious trilogy, and every single time there was, you know, Delirious was working as a major underdog, but he had earned a title shot or, you know, found his way to, you know, to making it almost believable in some cases that he could challenge Danielson. And you know, he was also feuding against Cabana and Nigel at the time, so there was a lot of directions Danielson went, and it really gave a lot of longevity and life to the title run.
Yeah, I think Ring of Honor's roster is getting back to a point where, you know, back, I guess, when we say the glory years of Ring of Honor, where guys up and down the card, they were so good and so well booked, they could be placed in world title shots, maybe not necessarily the main events of the show, but they could be given title shots and it made sense. And I think we're seeing that again. You know, let's go to 12th anniversary.
I want to quickly, if we're moving on, I want to quickly say one or two additional things about the show.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, go ahead. I was hoping you would include Matt Taven in that list of contenders. But anyway, go ahead.
Sure. He's got a title shot, right? I mean, the other two things I wanted to say about State of the Art is I love Steve Corino and Kevin Kelly on commentary. For some reason, I mean, they're really good on the television show, but I think even better on the house shows. They have a really good camaraderie. And I think Corino is just really bringing it. You know, he is Bobby Heenan with like his heel kind of shtick to a certain extent, but he's also providing really good quality analysis and insight. They ask good questions of each other. And you know what? I think one of the reasons to buy this show, whether it's on demand or DVD, is for the commentary, because I think that's a major high point. The other thing is pushing Cedric Alexander. Was actually, so it was three things, because Alexander was really good here in his sort of mini angle with Jimmy Jacobs in the Decade, where they tried to embarrass him, they kicked him out of the locker room, wouldn't let him change there. And that sort of connected right into the other thing I wanted to mention, which was hashtag the new streak, which I don't know. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up, but this is really one of the best comedy pieces of business that Ring of Honor has done in years. I love it. Robert Evans coming in, and he's undefeated as of state of the art. He was 32-0. He's probably more at this point. I think it's such a fabulous use of Robert Evans at this point. And he's got his own referee who brings out the signs. He's got fans who have, like, there were these fans in San Antonio who had, like, the number changers where you could flip the kind of, like, the deck of cards with the numbers on them.
That was pretty well done. Yeah.
Every win. I was just like, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And you know, it took, a young guys match, like this Wheezy Woo versus Alex Reigns match, which was, you know, was what it was. Reigns was actually kind of impressive. Wheezy Woo, he's interesting. They're both homegrown. I think he needs a little bit more work, but he could have potential one of these days to do something more as an underdog kind of guy. But I think they already kind of have Cheeseburger in that role. But maybe he could be the next Cheeseburger after Cheeseburger has been eaten. But I think this hashtag new streak stuff is fantastic, and I hope it continues for a long, long time. I'm really enjoying it.
I think and this is very, very small criticism, but the Artie Evans stuff is kind of coupled with Vader's Gone, the romantic touch storyline, which I just find completely ridiculous. I don't understand why that exists, but you're right. The Artie Evans stuff is pretty cool.
Romantic touch is very romantic.
Yeah.
The romantic touch stuff is pretty dumb.
He's one heck of a rookie, right, guys? Yeah? No? Actually, that kind of segues into what I want to talk about with 12th anniversary. You know, I watched it on the VOD on Ring of Honor's website. And the commentary, it is good. I enjoy Steve Corino, Kevin. Their banter with Kevin Kelly. You know what? I'll accept Kevin Kelly at this point. But when the show first began, the commentary was just a little off because they were talking in a sort of weekly television episode. Like, they were talking about certain matches coming up within the hour and stuff like that. And, like, you know, like I said, this is a small criticism, but that did, for some parts of it, kind of take me out of it, because I was like, what do you mean? The World Title match is not coming up within the hour. That's not happening.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That was. I mean, and obviously we all know this is all taped for TV. You understand that. That's what Ring of Honor is now. I'm just saying that was a small thing that kind of took me out. But, yeah, let's talk about 12th anniversary. I thought this was a really good show. It was worth the, I believe it's $14.95 for VOD. I wouldn't say I'd buy it on DVD. I don't know. Ari, maybe you feel different. You know, because, and Jerome, I'm pretty sure you haven't bought a Ring of Honor, like an actual DVD, probably in years. So.
Wow, it's been a while.
But I mean, there's definitely, the fans are still out there, right? There are some, including myself, that will buy a DVD of a show that we want to, you know, I guess, keep. That's kind of the word.
I would have said buy the DVD if they aren't, or the video on demand, if they weren't already, you know, transitioning it into television. I mean, this week already had three of the matches. So if you watch the TV or if you are a ringside member for the Ring of Honor website, you're going to get to see most of these matches.
And that's the other thing, man.
Yeah,
they are edited. I mean, we're missing at least 2 or 3 minutes of action, right? Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't checked to compare, but when I remember we reviewed the 8-man elimination tag match, and, you know, obviously that was cut down tremendously. So, I mean, I imagine, yeah, they will cut down things here and there, but, you know, if you're not worried about that, if you're the kind of person who says, you know, I'm satisfied with what I see on the screen during a TV show, then I don't think that's going to impact your decision one way or another. I think they'll you'll be satisfied. I mean, I thought this was the best anniversary show in approximately 4 years. So, I mean, to me, the in-ring quality is definitely worth, if you're sort of a collector or you like to get the big shows to have, you know, sort of on hand whenever you want to watch it. Yeah, I would definitely recommend this show.
As would I. So why don't we just run down our, our thoughts about this. Silas Young versus Matt Taven. You know, it was a good match. Taven got the win. I don't think this is what allowed Taven to be the challenger at Raising the Bar Night 1, but maybe, because he did get the win over Silas Young.
I don't know. The justification is that Taven beat Cole a year ago for the TV title, and Cole never beat Taven in any of their rematches. So vis-a-vis that, Taven feels he has the standing to challenge, and he sort of goaded Cole into accepting. But, I mean, you know, Taven's a good athlete, and I thought he did very well in this match. It was very competitive. Silas did a lot of really good heel stuff in between the flashy stuff from Taven. And they're committed to this feud now between Taven and Chief Martini. But, I mean, I honestly don't see where they can go, where they can fit Taven in at this point. I mean, I just don't see it. I would have rather him be still a heel, but that's just me.
Jerome,
Ivana really wants Matt Taven to be like their version of Rob Van Dam. Just the way that he wrestles,
yeah,
his personality. I think they really want him to be Rob Van Dam.
I was going to say, Jerome, do you believe Kevin Kelly when he said that Taven was as tough as Silas Young?
Not for a second. I mean, I just think you look at Taven's style, it's sort of like a B-level Rob Van Dam. Even does the frog splash. He's got the colors. He's sort of got the too cool for school attitude. So I think they want Taven to be sort of that guy. Yeah. I just don't know if this is gonna happen.
If you wanted to keep him with that sort of like too cool for school mentality and, you know, sort of like this, I would have actually kept one of the hot hoopla hotties around with him. You know, just one of them. I mean, it could have been Scarlett or any
Scarlett
other
was ring announcing Ari. She was busy that night.
I know. She was very overdressed for her role, if I do say so. But
wow.
What? So sexist. What? I don't know what you're talking about here. But honestly, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with this. I think it was a well-wrestled match. I mean, doing a B-level version of Rob Van Dam is still doing okay, because I think, you know, a lot of people like the athletic high spots. And, you know, people were popping for him. I mean, people got into him. So who am I to say? You know, let them try to find a spot for him on the face side, and, you know.
Maybe, the face side is way too quick. Heavy, though. That's
I don't know.
I mean, you've got Ciampa, Elgin, Steen, Hero, Styles, Lethal. It seems like there's a lot more traction on the heel side, too, because the heel side, it's Cole, it's the Decade, it's Bennett's, and Silas Young. So there's a
and
lot.
Red Dragon, they're technically heels. Kinda.
Red Dragon sort of tween. I would argue they're tweeners at this point. Because
really? I do not get that impression. I still get the impression they're heels.
I mean, if they're wrestling Outlaw Inc., I would argue they're faces.
Yeah. let's get there when we do. Next up, the Decade. I mean, there was not a lot to talk about this match. The main points I saw in it was they really like Cedric, get to show a lot of his toughness. Paige got to show some stuff during the match, not too much. And Mark Briscoe, I mean, he pulled out the best of during. My thing was this, and when we get your thoughts, Jerome, are we building to Steve Kano versus BJ Whitmer at some point? Because that was really what I thought after, you know, seeing the end of this match.
I did too. I was like,
what in the world's going on with that? Because it's not like Steve Kano is going to get back in the ring and form the group again.
I don't know how to feel about that. Do we really need to see Steve Kano in the ring again after he's been an announcer for a year? I mean, is there really any doubt that BJ Whitmer is going to win that match? I'm not exactly sure how to feel about Steve Kano, because he's sort of a heel announcer, but he would be a babyface against BJ Whitmer. I would much rather stay away from that. I think Cedric Alexander, to me, is the guy that should be pushed. I've said this for quite a long time now, that Cedric Alexander is definitely someone with a lot of potential in the company. I know that Ring of Honor is trying to get him over as sort of the next Roderick Strong. To me, he's always been reminded me more of Austin Aries, just with the way that he executes his moves, his transitions, some of the things he does. He's always reminded me more of Austin Aries than Roderick Strong, and I think he is the perfect opponent for Roderick Strong for that reason. And I'm hoping that Alexander can really get some traction out of this, because as I mentioned before, the babyface side is pretty loaded right now. So if Alexander can get the rub from the Decade, that's a big deal, because the Decade, obviously, you know, they've been in Ring of Honor for quite some time. Jacobs, Strong, Whitmer all have credibility with the audience. So hopefully this is sort of a long-term feud, and Alexander can get big victories over all three men in the next few shows. Because I think what you do is you have him beat Whitmer. I think you do a rematch with Jacobs. You haven't beat Jacobs. And then maybe you sort of do like a two or three matches with Strong and have him get the win against Strong in a big match. Maybe, you know, sometime during the summer, whether it's a Best in the World or even Death Before Dishonor. So this is something that I would actually do as something long term, because I think, you know, you've got three guys that, you know, you could wrestle, have them wrestle in tags and in singles. So I think this is a big deal for Cedric Alexander. Adam Page, I mean, it seems like every couple months they remember they have him on the roster and they book him on a big show to have him lose. So I guess that's sort of his purpose. And Mark Briscoe, he was there.
Yes, he was. Ari, your thoughts? I mean, the Decade, a pretty good heel faction. And then your thoughts? I mean, because it really did seem like they were really pushing the whole Whitmer getting in Carino's face and all that.
I am intrigued by all of that. It sort of reminds me of the stuff that Carino did early on in Ring of Honor, stuff like the feud of Homicide and all that, where it's sort of like on the periphery until it's right in front of you. And I'm intrigued. I mean, again, yeah, Carino does lean heel on commentary, but he also will stick up for guys like Cedric Alexander, and especially in this angle. And, you know, at State of the Art, he was really kind of defending Alexander and, you know, talking about how the whole thing about, you know, taking off the shoelaces that Jacobs wanted to do, and Carino said he didn't have to do that. That was just in Japan. That was the tradition. So I think, I mean, and then obviously this entire year, as you've seen Carino do on commentary, take these pot shots at BJ Whitmer when he was a babyface. So obviously Whitmer has the right to have a grudge now, and you know, I'm just shocked that it's kind of being pushed so strongly right now. So yeah, ultimately there should be a match at some point. I mean, Carino is wrestling in other companies, so I mean, to me, I think it's inevitable. They do some kind of hardcore type brawl with Carino and Whitmer. To what end, I'm not exactly sure. As far as what Jerome said about Cedric Alexander, I completely agree. He was really one, you know, really kind of like Briscoe was on the face side, sort of the glue that stuck everything together. But the match was obviously geared to show Cedric Alexander's best features as far as his moves, his ability. I think he's starting to connect with the crowd. I think the crowd is definitely going to start to groundswell around him if they give it more time. And just kind of keep pushing him a little bit stronger. The whole feud with Roderick Strong about taking the backbreaker is sort of an old school Ring of Honor inspired bit of genius. It's mid card, but it's good quality mid card stuff that adds depth to the feuds that are going on. And I completely want to see what happens next between the two. I think there's some really good chemistry as far as that goes. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Strong is actually doing pretty good on the mic when he's bullying Cedric Alexander. So there you go.
Yeah, this feels like the closest we've gotten to the real Roderick Strong ever.
Yeah, and it's hysterical that it's taken an angle where, I mean, it really seemed like at first when they formed that Jacobs was taking the lead in this. But I'm really glad they're starting to kind of provide. I mean, they're giving the BJ Whitmer, Steve Carino stuff some sort of traction. They're giving Strong something to do. So there is this sort of balancing that's starting to happen. And as far as the match itself on the 12th anniversary show, I thought it was really good. Six-man tags are often very good, especially in Ring of Honor. And I think they kind of, for a second match on the card, they did everything they should have done and gave you a lot of flash. A lot of good stuff towards the end of the match that kind of excited the crowd. And, you know, ultimately, I think this was the right way to go as far as the match result. So, yeah, aces all around for me.
Ironically, it only took a decade for Ari Berenstain to say that Roderick Strong was good on the mic. Well done.
I've never been one of the guys. Well, wait a minute. I've never been one of the guys that said, you know, keep the mic away from Roddy.
I don't know about that. We'll have to go look some of those past podcast of honors.
I don't know about that. I might have to deny that or something. We'll see. But no, I think what I've said in the column of honors is that Strong needs some time. Needed the mic time, and I just don't think it ever kind of clicked for him. Until, you know, doing this camp, the Camp Strong stuff was getting there, and I think now we're even moving farther along to that. So, hey, he's got to build his mic skills if he's doing a WWE tryout occasionally.
Yeah, there you go. I did like.
I don't know what his decade members are going to think about that. You know, considering their agenda.
Well, you never know. I did like that you mentioned how Carino's like Heenan. Not to get too deep into that, but it was, you know, he stayed consistent with BJ Whitmer the same way Heenan stayed consistent with Hogan no matter what. He just hated Hogan. So next up, the TV title, Tommaso Ciampa defeated the 2014 Top Prospect Tournament winner Hansen, and a match that was a lot more fun than I thought it should be. I mean, I think the one spot that is just going to stay in my memory for a while was the cartwheel, I guess, aversion by Hansen, and then he just clotheslines the hell out of Ciampa. Of course, Ciampa retained, but... Good Lord, that Hansen guy, that guy is scary athletic. So yeah, good match. Ari, anything else to say about that? I mean, they're both they're talents to look forward to in the future.
I knew this match was going to rule from the moment it was announced. Brian Alvarez is a fool. He thinks that Hansen versus Congo is going to be better than this. I don't think so. This was awesome. A great brawl between... the two guys. Hansen looked like a million bucks. They're really got something in him. And I think I'm kind of shocked because last year I did see a couple of his pre-show matches or tryout matches, and I was like, but you know what? This guy he's got the goods. And, you know, obviously Ciampa he just got the title belt. So it's a little bit too quick to change the game there, change the titles. But, This was a great little showcase for both guys, and you know, again, if you're, you know, watching the TV shows, you definitely want to tune in for that episode where they show this match. Again, can't say enough great things about it. Sometimes you just want to see two guys beat the crap out of each other, and that was this match. So kudos to both men.
Jerome, you've mentioned that you do Ring of Honor reviews for another website, and I don't remember what match it was, but there was a visual pinfall on Ciampa, and that looked like a step backward. This match, I can't say it was bad to see Ciampa, you know, get a little challenged by Hansen, because Hansen was obviously the big.
I mean, the only thing, I mean, I think it was I think it was a good brawl. Hansen, no selling a little too much for my liking, but I think this was a very good sprint that will play very well on TV. I think this is a perfect TV match because it's short. It's compact. It's two big guys beating the hell out of each other. So I think fans are going to really enjoy this and embrace this. I think.
What's not the love?
I think the most important thing that they really have to do with Hansen and for someone else, they've really got to give these guys some character, promo time, make us care about these guys. I think that's a major problem with Ring of Honor overall, is that they're not giving the wrestlers enough promo time, particularly like backstage promos. There wasn't a single backstage promo on the show, and I really feel like, I understand that, you know, Adam Cole and Chris Hero, they both cut promos on YouTube, but, I mean, YouTube is sort of a nebulous place for wrestling content to go. You know, if I'm paying for the shows, you know, I think Ring of Honor should really put more effort into, you know, having a couple minute promos from the main eventers and guys like Hansen and Raymond Rowe. Because I think it's important to build character. As Ari and I both know from watching NXT Arrival, you know, the video packages highlighting characters makes a huge difference. Yeah. I think it makes fans more interested in what they're doing. So, you know, I'm happy that Hansen is putting in good performances because I think Ring of Honor certainly has always had depth problems. And, you know, I think the mid-card can always use a constant refresher. And the roster can always be expanded as the company starts to run more shows. But, you know, I think they really just have to take a step back and really develop Hansen's character because I think he does have potential. I think he does have a unique look. I think his athleticism as a big guy will serve him very well in Ring of Honor, particularly if they shift him to the tag team division. I think that'll play off even better. But yeah, this was a fun brawl.
I think the same can be said for this next match. So there's not much to say about it, but Mike Elgin defeated Raymond Rowe. Kind of the same, you know, two big power guys, different uses of the power man spots. The only thing I would say is actually that they kind of gave this match, to me, a little bit too much time because it got a little repetition at the end.
5 minutes too long.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe...
And the crowd was not into it at all. I actually watched this the second time, and I did not feel... And I think the problem with this match is nobody bought that Raymond Rowe was going to win. And not only that, but Raymond Rowe is sort of... I think he's got even less of a presence than Hansen. I think where Hansen
Yeah, I believe that.
I think Hansen at least has a presence and a sort of a charisma. Raymond Rowe does not have that. And
I'll take exception to that because I think his entrance actually gives him a little bit of a presence and a charisma. I mean, he comes out with sort of like the bandana and a mask kind of thing going on. And then he's got all those tattoos.
I think he's got a good look, but then there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Right, and I think that ties into your point about the promos. I think, like, it would be interesting to know, you know, because, I mean, to me, it seems like it comes across as a little, like, maybe straight edge or something. Like, I'd like to know something about his past. I mean, I'm only speculating about that. I'd like to know something about, like, his background and, you know, why he comes out the way he does. And, you know, if he's a tough guy, why was he a tough guy? What made him that way? And I think that definitely adds depth to it. And, yeah, I think this match suffered from crowd placement or from match placement because – it was too similar to the Hansen-Ciampa match and probably would have gotten a better reaction in the second half. But, I mean, personally, I enjoyed it. I thought there was a lot of really cool power spots, and Elgin always impresses me doing the deadlift moves. And, I mean, I could watch him do that all day. But, I mean, ultimately, your criticism guys are pretty much on point. I think Elgin even said on Twitter he was disappointed in it. But I think there was a lot of good stuff in there, but the crowd may be a little bit too tired to really give it the full appreciation that, you know, maybe if it was on earlier or later in the show, it would have gotten. And, yeah, I think Rowe needed a few more hope spots where it might have seemed like he would have pulled off the upset. But, I mean, again, I personally enjoy watching these kind of matches, so... you know, I'll take them any way they come.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It just kind of felt, though, the build was almost like it was supposed to be an Elgin squash match, except you can't squash Raymond Rowe because he's almost as big. So, it really
And again, this
made
was
sense.
Supposed to be versus Matt Hardy, but Hardy's flight problems scratched the match, so you're sort of left with a little bit of few options because there's so many people are taken already. So, you know, it was an opportunity for Raymond Rowe to kind of, you know, take that next step. And I actually think he probably benefited better from the TV tapings and the angle that sort of arose out of that. But we'll get to that one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but I'm with Ari on this. I think it will benefit what he's doing next. I think benefits him much more.
Well, two guys that we know their histories and we probably know a little bit too much about, one of them, Jay Briscoe defeated Mike Bennett with the J Driller. This was just, it was a good match. Nothing wrong with it. I liked it. And it was just kind of there. Of course, it was for the real ROH world title. Ari, really, is there anything other to say than it was just there. It was a good match.
Break those rules. Break those rules, Chris.
God,
listen, you can't wear a t-shirt that says break those rules and then be upset when someone, you know, low blows you three times. So, you know, the other thing I remember from this match is that, you know, Jay Briscoe, he does this new thing now where tries to do this suplex on the apron corner. Cause that's,
yeah,
you know, that's the most powerful move. And he just about like brain buster. It could have been like a BJ Whitmer, Mike Bennett situation, you know, but I think luckily Bennett's head kind of, it didn't go down the wrong way. It kind of just raised the side of the apron and he fell the right way on that. So that was kind of scary for me. And the only other thing is I really like the Adam Cole connection that Mike Bennett is establishing. I think those are, you know, more than the Matt Hardy, Adam Cole connection, I like this. I think there's a lot that can be benefited from Bennett, sucking up to Adam Cole and taking his side of things. Really cool kind of, dynamic that could grow from that. But hopefully that comes in time.
Well, Jerome, you and I have talked about how Ring of Honor has treated their women talent, and in this storyline, it kind of feels like Maria's the one in control. What do you think about this match, and I guess her influence on Bennett?
I mean, I'm not going to talk about the misogyny of Ring of Honor. I'm not getting into that on this show.
She didn't get beat up by Briscoe in this match.
No, she wasn't. So it's not worth really commenting on. If I'm going to comment on Ring of Misogyny, I'll save that for later. This match was fine. I'm used to Bennett now. You know, I'm sort of I could deal with him. I could watch his matches and be like, that was good. I can move on. I can be content. I don't get angry. It's good. I mean, this was fine. You know, I think this was perfectly acceptable wrestling. Mike Bennett's a good mid-carder. I think putting him with Cole is a very good idea because you could sort of have, you could have tag matches with Cole that don't involve Matt Hardy, which makes me happy. And you could also have Mike Bennett wrestle top contenders. And, you know, you could say, well, you know, in order for Kevin Steen to wrestle Adam Cole at the next show, he's got to go through Michael Bennett. Oh, that's probably a bad example because they just feuded, but I think you know what I'm getting at, is that you sort of have Mike Bennett as the enforcer building up to matches with Adam Cole. So I think that's a positive thing for Cole. I think it's a positive for Bennett because it sort of gets him involved with the title picture without putting him in the title picture. And on the next podcast of Honor, when we preview Supercard of Honor, because my voice isn't in the best of shapes right now, I will do my Jay Briscoe is the worst babyface in the history of pro wrestling rant.
Yeah, well, I guess so we won't see a battle for the Anaconda Vice. So that won't happen. So next up, the World Tag Team Championship match, Red Dragon versus ACH and Tadarius Thomas. Red Dragon retained. I thought this was a really fun match. You know, obviously, ACH and TD Thomas, the crowd really enjoys what they do. I don't believe for a second they thought that Red Dragon was going to lose the titles, but there was definitely a lot of fun in this match, and I thought it brought the crowd back up a little bit. So it was a good match. Jerome, what'd you think? I think we've talked about ACH and TD Thomas being just there, and hey, they got a title shot.
I want to play a game with Ari Berenstein, if you don't mind, Chris. Ari, guess what company used this very same finish between Kyle O'Reilly and ACH? Guess what company?
Was it PWX?
Oh, Ari, so close. You were off by one. We were looking for PWG. PWG, very same finish.
One consonant away, Ari.
So it sort
I'd
of
like
took
to
out.
Buy a vowel.
So this. This is a tough one, because I feel like if you haven't seen this finish, that it was the greatest thing ever, and the crowd popped really big. So obviously they hadn't seen it, which is great. I mean, I'm glad that people liked it. It's a great finish, don't get me wrong, but it was sort of a, you know, I've seen that in PWG before, and it's not nearly as much fun. And so I guess, you know, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but...
you weren't excited for Kyle O'Reilly's Armageddon, Jerome? No,
I like Accent Smash better. I actually think if that's Kevin Kelly, that's the best thing he's done in Ring of Honor.
That's pretty awesome.
But this is a good match. I saw some people really saying, "Oh, it was the best match on the show." I don't think that's the case. I think this was good, not great. I think if ACH and Tadarius Thomas were more legitimate contenders, I think this would have been even better. But as it is, it was good. As it was about what I expected it to be.
Ari, was this better than Red Dragon versus Outlaw Inc.? Be honest.
I think this match was about 100 times better than Outlaw Inc. match, yes. I had a really fun time watching this. Actually, I saw this match first before the State of the Art match where they won the title shot. I actually think the title shot match is slightly better than this one, but... I love that the fans went really crazy for the high spots and the finish. I mean, I haven't seen the PWG show with that finish, so this kind of popped me a lot. So I liked it. I liked it as far as pushing ACH over, and Tadarius got some good run. So just as long, you know, obviously they're sort of, I think there's a lot of, you know, There's a little bit of a roadblock as far as who gets the next tag title run, because the Young Bucks are up next, and I have my suspicions that they'll take the titles out of the New Japan for the New Japan stuff. But, you know, obviously I think Adrenaline Rush are primed or getting ready to be the face team that maybe in the summer they could finally win the belts in or late spring. And it really just kind of just provides some really great matches there. The other thing I wanted to say is that Fish and Owen, I mean, this is why I think they're more heels than tweeners, although I guess it depends on who they're popped up against. But I mean, I love the sort of like condescension that they bring to the match, and Bobby Fish especially. Talk about a guy who, like, I really didn't see anything in him like 6 or 7 years ago, and now he's like one of my favorite things. As far, it's sort of like an Eddie Edwards, where like when Eddie Edwards began, he had a cardboard personality, but then he found a groove. And I think Fish and even O'Reilly, they have such a great act together, and you know, it's easy to hate them, and that's what their jobs are, and so they do their jobs well.
Well, I think Bobby Fish really benefited from a heel turn. He was nothing. He showed no personality as a babyface, and as a heel, yeah, he just has so much more to him. And that mustache, can we just talk about that for a second?
That's immaculate. Is the greatest. Yeah,
and marvel at the greatness that is Bobby Fish's mustache.
I know. I don't. The fans react a certain way to Silas Young's mustache, but when they see Fish, it's just light years away.
I give this match an extra star just for Bobby Fish's mustache.
Hear, hear.
Well, the next matchup won't get any extra stars for hairdos. We had Styles versus Jay Lethal. AJ Styles won with the Styles Clash. I thought this was marginally one of the best matches, but maybe match of the night in terms of the singles matches. It was a good match. Obviously, AJ Styles, he's winning guys over and over in Ring of Honor, but is he ever going to get a title shot? Who knows? Ari, you know, AJ Styles, obviously you and I have been longtime fans of his, and Sir Droma's as well. This harkened back to some of the stuff before Styles was, I guess, before TNA and Ring of Honor had their split and whatever that was for. But Jay Lethal, you know, he really built this matchup for me, saying, hey, we were in that company together. We've been in this company before. Let's go out there and show the crowd what we can do. And I think they did here.
Absolutely. Really good match. AJ Styles, I mean, you know, say what you will about, you know, what his future might be, but when he, you know, he's 2-2 as far as his matches in Ring of Honor so far. I like the psychology of, you know, Lethal sort of knowing AJ Styles' moves and being able to stop it and focus on some psychology around that. And I like that Styles was able to come up with a solution for that, and sort of, you know, the finish with the powerbomb into the Styles Clash was really well done. And I mean, really, as far as like a face versus face match, you know, with the time that it was given, very, very good. Not excellent, but very, very good. And again, you know, I definitely think this is building towards Styles getting a title shot before he's done. Before he's done, he's got to get a title shot here. And I just hope he's not done for a long time, because he really adds that extra something to the shows. I mean, you can tell from this, you know, the moment his theme song kicks in, which is sort of like, it's a reworked version of the Vast song. It's not Vast. It's some other guy who sort of like took everything from that, except maybe like a bar or two, and said, oh, okay, this is my song now. But it works. I mean, the crowd really loves that and really gets into his entrance, really gets into Styles. He's legit. He helps boost the card up, boost the roster up. So, definitely happy to see him in Ring of Honor, and yeah, I would recommend this match in a heartbeat. And the other thing to notice is that Lethal walking out a little bit frustrated. I know we talked about the face side was very deep. I actually have my suspicions that they're moving towards a Jay Lethal heel turn at some point. It really seems that way.
I think that's a great move.
I kind of thought he'd be associated with the Decade, because obviously he was the one that walked out when they were first formed. But one thing I want to add to that, I was kind of glad to see that it was because Jay Lethal had to call his finisher, that gave enough time for Styles to react and
yeah,
win the match. Because I'm so tired of Lethal calling. He calls out Lethal and Jax is like, really? You're going to tell us when you're going to hit
it?
And
then he does the handspring, which gives you a couple extra seconds. That's a great observation.
Exactly. It's a Bond ending. It's the Bond villain just taking too much time with it. Anyway, Jerome, I'm sure you like this match as well, hopefully.
I mean, I'm probably right with you guys as far as, you know, a star rating or quality of the match. I'm sure we're right along. On the same point, if we could just give AJ Styles a haircut and take away his leather coat, I would be much happier with AJ Styles. His theme song is great. I love it. I think it fits into his character, but his haircut, whatever he's trying to do, it's not working. So, but this is very good, and this is about what I expected. You know, I think the match with Roderick Strong and Jay Lethal both have met my expectations. You know, I think they've been very good sort of upper mid-card level matches, and I think they've delivered in the ways that they've needed to. And I thought this was the second best match of the show.
Oh, okay, second best. All right. So next up, Outlaw Inc. They made their return. They kind of manhandled Scarlett. Eddie Kingston used some words that they told the crowd not to use, but whatever. You know, break rules. Oh, wrong gimmick. So
we're gonna digress.
Okay, Jerome.
I'm at it, Jerome.
What are your thoughts?
So Ring of Honor tells the fans to watch their gestures and to watch their language. Jay Briscoe audibly used the word shit when he was on the microphone. Eddie Kingston called Scarlett a whore and then mentioned not wanting to swear for fear he would get suspended. And then in the main event, the quote-unquote main event, Cliff Compton was openly giving middle fingers to fans, audibly saying four-letter words.
And yeah, he said the MF-er, and I was like, really? Oh, God.
So... And I think the problem with this is if Ring of Honor wants to cultivate and they want to say all ages show, that's fine. But you can't say to the fans, don't swear, don't give gestures, and then the wrestlers do the same thing. You can't do that. You can't have it both ways because it's very hypocritical for Ring of Honor to do that. And it's just annoying. You know, I don't care either way. If they want to run a PG show, that is A-okay with me. Because you know, you're probably going to get a slightly bigger audience, you know, maybe you could get kids to come, and you know, Chikara and WWE have proven that you can still have good wrestling shows without swearing and without the gestures and all that good stuff. But you know, I just think they need to be consistent. If they don't want the fans to swear for TV, then they need to tell the wrestlers that they can't swear for TV either, and the same for the gestures and everything else. So that's all I have to say about that, really.
Yeah, I mean, they can't do things that will encourage that behavior. I mean, what did Cliff Compton think the fans would do when he flips them off? Were they going to flip him back off? Except, oh, that's right, they asked us not to because it's going to be on TV, and we don't want all those. They're just really horrible blurs on the TV. I can't stand when they do that. I know why they do it, but it's horrible.
Right. There must have been some sort of malfunction at the junction there because, yeah, there's going to be all this post-editing work that they're going to have to do for those kind of stuff. Well, I don't even know if they'll show Steen versus Compton since it's on
doubt
the
it.
Section.
There's
but,
no way that's fucking TV.
But, I mean, honestly, the other stuff, there's just no reason for it. I mean, if you say to the fans, and it's Philadelphia, too, so it's asking a hell of a lot. In Philadelphia and New York to tell the people, you know, don't curse, watch your language.
I completely disagree with you, Ari, and I will say why.
Okay.
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tommy Dreamer swore at a Chikara show in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia fans were shouting at him not to stop swearing and saying this was a PG show.
That was a moment. Yeah.
So that happens, Ari.
Well, I guess, you know, but that was a Chikara show. And so, you know, as you said, Chikara shows are long been established as sort of PG family friendly. And I think the fans really embrace that and get into that. Whereas Ring of Honor has always had that sort of edgy underground, not as hardcore as ECW, but certainly, you know, there's no rules as far as, you know, crowd behavior. You can feel free to chant whatever you want. And the few times that... you know, Ring of Honor has taped for television or PPV broadcast, and they've asked the fans, you know, in New York or Philadelphia to kind of like tone down their language. It's been met with not as well as that Chikara show, let's just say. So the fact that, you know, the fans did so well on the show, especially with all the other wrestlers sort of not following that line, actually speaks well of Philadelphia.
I think, Ari, you're just making excuses for you and your friends at the New York shows, just drinking too much and not listening.
Yeah, listen, come on.
Yeah, you know, man, it's all me.
Yeah. Plus, when it comes to chance, I've never seen a hashtag hijack ROH ever on Twitter either. Yes. So.
Hijack row.
There you go. So next up, I guess you could say actual main event, even though it was the co-main event. The ROH World Championship was on the line. Adam Cole defeated the Knockout Artist, Chris Hero. We're getting those nicknames again, Ari. It's awesome. But I mean, you know what? This was a good match, and I think it told the story. I mean, obviously, for me, it actually reminded me a little bit of, obviously, there's tons of Ring of Honor title shots down the line, but it was really focused on Chris Hero getting those kicks into Adam Cole's face and just Cole getting, you know, really showing his toughness. But I don't know, the end kind of ruined it. Not ruined the whole match for me, but the whole ref bump thing and, oh, look, Adam Cole got the Florida Keys and, oh, they actually didn't see him tap out. That, to me, I don't know. I understand it. I understand the psychology behind it. But, I don't know, kind of a step down for me because of that. But it was still a good match.
On the plus side, Chris, this was actually better than their finish at the PWG show.
That is true.
The PWG show was an overbooked mess. This was tame by comparison.
But that is a PWG match, Jerome. There are different expectations for each promotion.
I actually think PWG's bar is higher than Ring of Honor's at this point.
No, right. No, but I mean in terms of what they were going to do. So, for this match, I thought it worked as a Ring of Honor match. It's just that I'm just getting tired of the whole ref bump thing, you know? And because Adam Cole to me should be a tough champion. We don't need another. Because he's getting booked kind of weak, because there's always a visual pin or a submission, and there's always some reason why the ref doesn't see it. And it's like, Adam Cole's a better champion than that, in my opinion. Anyway, Jerome, what were your thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't think Adam Cole is the type. I mean, Adam Cole is good enough to get heat, whether he's winning by pit clean or whether he's winning dirty. So I don't understand. I think it's totally unnecessary. I think both guys, I have to say, to the both guys' credit, I think this was the dynamic is very clear as to who the babyface and the heel was. So I think that's very good. I think you want that in a main event like this. You want. So, I mean, there were certainly some people that were cheering for Adam Cole, but for the most part, it felt like the crowd was reacting in the right way to Chris Hero challenging for the title. And I think this was a really good match. I think the finish hurt it a little bit, but I really liked the dynamics that were going on, you know, with Cole sort of slowing the pace down and, you know, Hero using his arsenal of strikes. I think they played off each other very well.
But does this match build enough to warrant a Ringmaster's challenge? Because that's the next chapter of this.
I can only assume they wanted a main event level match that is sort of above a typical B show, but they didn't want to give away Steen or Briscoe or Elgin, so that's why they're doing the rematch with Hero. I don't know. I could sort of take or leave the stipulation. I'm sure the match is going to be really good. But, yeah, I mean, I thought, finish aside, I still thought this was the best match of the show. I think it built really well. And, yeah, I was pretty happy with the work that these two guys did. I think Cole is probably one of the better heel world champions that Ring of Honor's had. Probably as good, if not even a little better than Nigel at this point, as far as, you know, getting heel heat from the crowd and the way that he wrestles his matches. You know, he's doing a fantastic job. And I think Hero did a really good job as a babyface, which is funny because Hero, I think he didn't have any matches as an official babyface when he was a roster member. So it's interesting that he's sort of back now and he is beloved by the crowd. So I'm hoping that Hero is sort of with Ring of Honor. I know he's the Evolved Champion now, but I hope that Hero still is able to make appearances with Ring of Honor because I think he adds a lot to the roster. And I think Cole's title reign, I don't know, I'm sort of conflicted about it because I think Adam Cole himself is doing a great job, but there's some things around him. I mean, he doesn't really get a lot of – I don't think he's cut a single promo on any of the TVs. And I think that's a problem because I think you want your world champion to be out there front and center, even if he's not necessarily wrestling. I think you really want him to be talking about matches. And I think given how good he is at talking, I would really want to see more Adam Cole promos on television. And I think some of the finishes to his matches are also a little problematic, but I think Adam Cole himself is doing a great job.
Yeah, I mean, he gets some promos in against Jay Briscoe, but you're right, overall, usually Hardy's doing quite a bit of talking. But Ari, gush over this match. Try to hide your enthusiasm for it.
I don't really know what else I can add. I agree 100% with Jerome's points. I think it was clear the story for this match was that Hero basically out-wrestled and stayed one step ahead of Cole, but Cole had the ability to seize the opportunity at the end of the match, and you know, even though he tapped the stretch plum, that he still was able to make good on the opportunity and hit three Florida Keys in a row for the win. The other big visual moment I think I was really impressed by was this kind of stuck pile driver that Cole did using the ropes, sort of like this momentum, like a seesaw type thing. It was like crazy to me. I really, you know, again, it's Adam Cole and Chris Hero. It's going to be good whether it's in Ring of Honor or in PWG. I think Chris Hero knows exactly from his PWG experience how to be a babyface in front of a crowd that is, you know, like a Ring of Honor crowd or a PWG crowd. So to me, I think he'll stay a babyface for the time being and continue to feud against Adam Cole and some other guys, maybe the Decade. There's definitely a place for him on that side of the roster doing that kind of stuff for as long as he's sticking it around in the independent scene for 2014. This is a really good match.
Can I ask a serious question, though? Why is Nigel McGuinness made to look like the Barney Fife of Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be, you know, kind of be the patsy in that kind of those kind of situations.
It's so bad.
I mean, he's the matchmaker. You know, it's like everyone's getting one over on him.
He's making up for it. He made the Ringmaster Challenge.
Right. We'll get to that.
No, but he talks about how there's not going to be a sports entertainment finish, and then they do.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. I really didn't like them doing that. Don't try to stick it to other companies. If you're going to end up doing the same thing, because that just it's not a good look. It's not a good look.
Yeah, he brings a little bit too much attention to that. But speaking of, we had the unsanctioned Philly street fight, guys. Kevin Steen defeated Cliff Compton. It was a package pile driver on a ladder that finished the match. It was, you know, in terms of street fights, it was kind of tame, to be honest. I don't know. I just thought the match was just kind of there. I'm not saying it was bad, but it honestly, after the world title match, it didn't do much for me. So, Ari, you know, I mean, there's been good street fights in Ring of Honor. This, I don't know. This, to me, was just not one of them.
This is very much a boilerplate street fight, you know, is insert Singapore cane spot here. Let's do a table spot here. Insert ladder weapon here.
The Terry Funk spot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. In some ways, this definitely seemed more like an ode to ECW than it did an ode to Ring of Honor, even though Ring of Honor has had a good deal of history doing hardcore matches and having blood and violence. And Ring of Honor has not usually shied away from that. Maybe a little bit less so now in the corporate era, but, you know, the first 10 years was filled with all that kind of stuff. So,
but Ari, Cliff Compton, the unsung Ring of Honor veteran.
What? Veteran of Ring of Honor?
I feel like Kevin Steen could have had this match with anyone. Right. And it wouldn't have made a difference.
You know the old joke that Ric Flair could have a three-star match with a broomstick, and I think Kevin Steen could have a three-star street fight with the broomstick, the table, and the ladder and the chair. I mean, you know, it is what it was. I know Steen is probably close with Cliff Compton, has had him on his podcast, is really wanting to do something with him in Ring of Honor and get him featured. And, you know, to me, this was a third of the violence and a tenth of the emotional impact of some of the other Kevin Steen unsanctioned street fights, most notably the El Generico one. I mean, they did do some stuff on TV to sort of build to this, but to me, it was just a street fight and no more, no less. And it's a shame because I know Cliff Compton, he took some pretty nasty bumps. He got a concussion during this match. So, you know, the guy put himself through hell. I really wish there could have been a little bit of a better upside for it, you know, a reward for it. But, you know, I mean, for me, I wasn't too into it.
Well, there might be. We'll talk about that in the TV spoiler section because there might be some comeuppance for this.
Right, and it should be said that the Philadelphia crowd, they loved it because, of course, it was, you know, it was a Philadelphia street fight in the hometown of UCLA.
Kevin Steen is involved. I mean, they're going to love it.
So, you know, there have been worse matches to end the show with. There's been worse ways to end an anniversary show. I mean, the scramble tag match to end the first anniversary show, still on top of the charts, mind-boggling decisions. You have the whole Paul London story where he's, you know, marching to the title. He wins the match, the triple threat match. Then he has to face Xavier right away. And you end the match with, like, this clusterfuck 12-man tag with Whipwreck's kids just, like, doing spot after spot after spot and no-selling everything. It still pisses me off to this day. It was such a horrible match.
Sorry, man.
Wow,
your anger
still bitter about it 11 years later.
Man, when are you going to stop hating Quiet Storm, Ari? Come on, let it go. Jerome.
Quiet Storm.
Jerome, this match. Yeah, Philly Street Fight.
I have nothing to add. I just want to say overall this was a strong show, and it's probably worth getting on VOD.
Oh, I don't know. Did I... during the notes for this match, it was mentioned Outlaw Inc. was on the ramp train for Steen. I guess maybe I stopped watching too early. Was that at the end?
Yeah, Steen cut a very solid promo as State of the Art, and they were on the apron. So we could look forward to a Kevin Steen homicide match, guys.
Yes! Finally! Oh. No? Okay.
No.
All right, so we're gonna give some thoughts on the TV... spoilers coming up, but why don't we talk first about Raising the Bar weekend. Jerome, you're going to be there live. It takes place March 7th and March 8th. I mean, there's only a few matches announced anyway, so I don't think we have to delve into this too deeply. For night one, it takes place in Milwaukee. Jerome, I hope you enjoy traveling because that's where you're going. You're going to see in the main event, at least I assume it's the main event, the World Championship, Adam Cole versus Matt Taven. Six-man tag action, Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks, the closest thing to Mount Rushmore we're going to get in Ring of Honor against the Briscoes and Michael Elgin, Chris Hero versus Roderick Strong, and a ton of other talent signed to appear that night, including Jay Lethal versus Silas Young. And then night two, we're going to see Adrenaline Rush versus Roderick Strong and BJ Whitmer, the Briscoes versus Outlaw Inc., Ari, our dreams have been answered, and then the Ring of Honor tag team titles, Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks, which, Ari, you mentioned before, I guess you're assuming there could, or not assuming, but you're guessing there could be a title change.
I'm guessing there's a title change there. Yeah, I'm excited for that match regardless. So.
And then Adam Cole, he defends the title again against Chris Hero, but this time Ringmaster's Challenge, three stages of hell. You either get a pinfall, the first one, submission, the second one, and then a 15-minute Ironman match in the third, if needed, fall. And that takes place in Chicago Ridge in Illinois, March 8th. We should mention also that the Squared Circle, they're going to be, I guess, hosting the festivities, I believe. Is it Roger Strong, Jay Lethal, and the Young Bucks, Jerome, are going to be on the bus ride?
Roger Strong and Jay Lethal will be doing a special, they'll be servers at the Squared Circle.
All tickets
are going to charity, so that is this Thursday night between 7 and 10 p.m.
But the Young Bucks are also involved, right, at the Squared Circle? I thought
the Young Bucks are going to be taking the party bus on Saturday to and from Chicago Ridge, so...
Wow.
That'll be very cool. I don't know how much I'm going to be involved in the festivities, but I will be going to Milwaukee. I'll be going about 90 miles north. I definitely want to check out the Turner Hall Ballroom. I've heard nothing but great things. The crowd seems really fantastic. Some of the best wrestling crowds I've ever been to have been in Milwaukee whenever I've gone to I've been to a couple DGUSA shows and a Chikara show, so it's been a lot of fun. Really excited to see the venue more than anything else. And one of the reasons I really wanted to attend both shows is to see the Young Bucks and Chris Hero live. Really happy to see the six-man tag, Steen and the Bucks against the Briscoes and Elgin, and the Bucks and Red Dragon the next night. Those are the two matches I'm looking forward to the most. Adam Cole and Matt Taven, I am perversely interested in this match. Because I'm very curious to see how the crowd reacts to Cole and Taven. Are the fans going to really get behind Matt Taven after sort of his heel turn? And it's also worth noting that Milwaukee is actually a Sinclair market. So, you know, the assumption is that they should sort of know the storylines and what's been going on TV. So I'll be interested to see sort of how the reactions match up with that. I'm disappointed that more things haven't been announced and we're, 4 or 5 days away from the show. Given we're recording this on Monday night, I'm assuming Tuesday morning they're going to probably fill out the cards. because that's kind of how it goes. Should mention that Tyson Dukes is making his return to Ring of Honor on this weekend set of shows. I hope that this becomes a regular thing. He recently wrestled at an AIW show, and I'm hoping he gets more bookings in the States because he's very, very good. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Briscoes and Outlaw Inc. I have a perverse desire to see this too, because I am not a fan of anyone involved in this match as far as sort of in-ring competition goes. I think Kingston, he really has to have the right opponent to have a good match. And there's nobody that books him better than Mike Quackenbush. And, you know, he's very hit or miss otherwise. Homicide is not the Homicide of 2006. Neither is Mark Briscoe, neither is Jay Briscoe. I have to believe this is going to be better than the match with Red Dragon and Outlaw Inc. But my hopes are low. I'm hoping for a quick brawl, and that's it. And that's all. Those are my thoughts on the Double Shot. I'm sure it's going to be fun. You know, I know it's not going to be Toronto. It's not going to be an iPay-per-view. So I'm not walking into these shows expecting history to be made. But it'll be two fun nights of Ring of Honor wrestling. And getting to see the Young Bucks. You know, I don't get to see them a lot. So it'll be fun.
Well, I hope if there's some Bullet Club merch, Jerome, that you will buy me some. And that I'm just going to go on a ledge and say Taven, next Ring of Honor champion.
If Matt Taven wins the title on Friday,
I'm just saying.
I don't know what I'll do.
Ari.
I will sing his theme song on the podcast.
There you go.
Yes.
Ah. Ari, any thoughts on this?
I won't take up too much time because I think Jerome did a really good job there. I think the highlight for me in Milwaukee is the six-man tag match, seeing Mount Rushmore kind of get back together, not in PWG. So it should be interesting to see sort of what the chemistry is there, how they play it off.
They'd better wear matching gear. That's all I'm going to say.
I think Hero versus Strong, I've seen that a couple times, years ago in Ring of Honor, so not super excited for that, but I get it because it plays into the decade storyline, and you would have had to do that match at some point. But the Chicago Ridge, I know you guys are not thrilled by the Ringmaster Challenge matches, but aside from me making fun of the name years ago, I really think that these matches have actually come across pretty well and pretty well booked. The guys involved, it sort of plays to their strengths. Technical wrestling followed by sort of this Iron Man match, and I definitely think we'll see this go the full three falls with the Iron Man. So, if you like Cole and Hero wrestling, you're going to get, I think, your money's worth with this kind of match stipulation. And like I said before, I like Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks. I have a sneaking suspicion we'll get a title change here to sort of lead into the New Japan shows. And I will just pray for Jerome that he has a positive outcome with the Briscoes Outlaw in the match. And, hope the other matches work out well. I think if you have a solid undercard for all these shows with, I think the Milwaukee show is going to be kind of a balanced, kind of a weaker, kind of more solid undercard with a little bit of a weaker main event. And I think you'll see the inverse maybe in Chicago to a certain extent.
I'm really hoping we get Michael Elgin and Tyson Dukes on night two. Dukes is not officially announced for Chicago.
Yeah, but I know Elgin's championed him.
If he's what?
I know Elgin has championed him on Twitter.
So I'm hoping that we get that in Chicago. I think that's a good use of Elgin. Get him a nice victory on one of the nights. He's not advertised. Dukes isn't. But that's what I'm hoping for on night two.
I'd like to see Cedric Alexander against Strong. Strong is also not listed on the card here. But I'd like to see. Let's get that first match between the two of them going at some point soon. Oh, yeah, he is listed on the card. They're listed together at the decade. So, yeah, let's put Cedric against Strong in a singles match on that card. I'll be happy for that.
Well, on night two, we do have Strong and Whitmer versus Adrenaline Rush. So, yeah, I guess night one.
You're right. Yeah, I missed that. Forgot about that. That's what happens when you record in so late in the morning. At night in the morning. You get a little bit goofy.
There you go. All right, so that is the cards coming up. Jerome, hopefully you are tweeting live results on our Twitter.
I am tweeting results at twitter.com/PWPonderings. I will have all of the updates from both Milwaukee and Chicago.
Awesome. So join us there for that. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the TV taping spoilers. So anyone right now, if you don't want to know anything about the TV that's been taped, check out now. Go check out the Little Column of Honors by Ari Berenstein at pwponderings.com. Check out Jerome's hopefully coming DVD reviews at some point. And, of course, I'm reviewing Ring of Honor TV, and I will have reviews up hopefully soon of State of the Art and 12th Anniversary. So go check that out, pwponderings.com. Go check out the website. All right, guys, some of the big news coming out of the TV tapings. It looks like Raymond Rowe and Hansen are a tag team going forward. They're basically getting endorsed by Michael Elgin, which can do nothing but good things for them going forward for Ring of Honor. I'm kind of excited for that. Before we get your thoughts on that, though, you know, we talked a little bit about developing their characters. Obviously, we don't know whether there's going to be some inserts, you know, from television production, whatever. But Rowe and Hansen together, you know, two big guys. Rowe has all the tattoos. Hansen's just, he's just a monster. Do you think this combination works? I guess I'll go to you first. Does that work out for you?
I like it. I don't know, having not seen the show in action, but both of them have done very well as far as his matches this year. Bless you. And I think as far as Bruiser, you know, Ring of Honor does sort of this need this big monster Bruiser tag team. So, yeah. And I see an immediate placement against, you know, the likes of Adam Cole and Bennett together as a team, or the Decade, because, again, the Decade has been focused on the younger guys, so you could definitely see the Decade having an issue with them at some point in their future. And then having them sort of be like this mentorship or this loose connection with Michael Elgin is a strong way of making them seem important right away. And obviously, if they need to split up, you have the history of them being in the finals of the Race to the Top tournament. You have this part, so you could easily do, you know, sort of a breakaway later in the year if you need to, and have them fight each other in a feud or something. So I think this is a win-win-win all around for both guys and their future in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Jerome, your thoughts on this? Because, I mean, it seems going forward, Elgin, obviously he's endorsing them as a tag team, kind of forming a little group with them. He says that he needs them because Adam Cole obviously has his standbys with him. And then later on in Episode 3, Elgin actually went to a time limit draw with AJ Styles. There's no mention as to whether Hansen and Rowe were there, but I can just assume that going forward we're going to see them kind of have his back, and he says he has theirs. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I think Ring of Honor's got a really good thing going with the world title division. I think they've got a number of really good, of really, really solid contenders. I think the TV title, you know, Jay Lethal, obviously a big part of the TV title division still. Matt Taven, Silas Young. So I think they've really filled that out pretty well. I think the tag team division needs a ton of work. You know, the American Wolves aren't around. The Briscoes are sort of part-time tag team wrestlers. I have zero confidence that Outlaw Inc. are going to be in Ring of Honor's future if they continue to turn in performances like they did at Final Battle. I think the Young Bucks are sort of in and out of the company at this point. And the Decade, I don't know what the role is going to be. Are they going to be sort of tag team wrestlers? Are they going to be sort of as a group in six-mans? I mean, obviously they can all do singles. So I think you really need tag teams at this point. And Adrenaline Rush, you know, they've been jobbed out at this point. So I think you really need to put together a couple guys. And based on the potential of Hansen and Rowe, I think it's a smart move. I think they could sort of compensate for each other's weaknesses. You know, I think Rowe is, you know, actually more of the bruiser type, and Hansen is sort of the more athletic guy of the two, and I'm hoping that connecting them with Elgin sort of allows them to develop personalities, and that it really benefits both guys. You know, I think whenever you sort of have two guys who are brand new and you don't necessarily know what to do with them, sometimes putting them in a tag team works, as long as you're willing to sort of be patient with them and sort of keep them together and really you know, get them on the road, so to speak, and start having them wrestle matches together. You know, I think it could be a really good thing, because I think that, like I said, the tag team division right now is very fluid. There's a lot more room to grow for, I think, these two guys in the tag team division as opposed to the TV and world title divisions.
Right, and I probably should have mentioned, I totally forgot this, Episode 3, Red Dragon, they defeated a brutal Bob Evans and Cheeseburger, and and Hansen came out and stared them down after the match, so look forward to that, folks. Look forward to
who
that.
Who did Brutal Bob and Cheeseburger beat to get a title match?
I don't know
Benchmark,
who was a title
Bill
match,
Daly and
Will Ferrara,
whatever his name is.
Team Benchmark, there you go. I guess the other thing to mention, since you mentioned Outlaw Inc., Kevin Steen defeated Homicide by disqualification when Kingston interfered. That only took place really on Episode 1. There's no real mention of them on Episode 2 or 3, so don't know whether that's going forward. And then, of course, the big announcement at Super Card of Honor. I kind of gave that away. In New Orleans, Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole will face off with both title belts hung above the ring in Ladder War 5, guys. So that kind of defeats my prediction of Matt Taven, but c'est la vie. So... Ladder War 5, I think this is going to deliver. It's kind of that WrestleMania 10 feel, right?
Not at all. I don't really care. I'm sure Cole's going to win. It'll be fine. It's not going to be anything great.
The last time I bet against Jay Briscoe at Super Card of Honor, I was so wrong. But
yeah,
Ari...
we all were, weren't we? Yeah, we were wrong. I think
that's the storyline, right? That's the easy storyline to play, which is smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, probably, yeah, they could say, hey, practically 1 year later, Jay Briscoe, he's doing it. But yeah, I do see Adam Cole retaining. Hey, maybe he'll carry on both belts, guys. He'll be the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion.
I mean, look, you can kind of snark at it a little bit, because it's hard not to side with Adam Cole as far as, you know, who is the rightful champion at this point. But, ladder war matches have been insane in the past. So with that being said and knowing that it's a WrestleMania weekend show, I mean, I think we're really going to – I think the fans live in attendance are going to love the match, and I think we'll actually be saying some really nice things about it once it's done as far as, you know, how these guys, you know, wrestled in that match. And as far as – you know, the outcome seems a little bit obvious, but again, as Chris just said, you know, we bet against Jay Briscoe last year and we were wrong. So I am going to hold steady on any predictions.
Have we seen Cole? I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen Cole. Actually, I'm very sure. I've seen Cole use ladders and stuff from PWG, but in Ring of Honor?
He was in the Three Mendes ladder match with Kyle O'Reilly.
Right, right. God, that did happen.
And that was in PWE, right?
PWG.
Yes. No, but so in Ring of Honor, that's why I was at. I said I knew he did in PWG, but in Ring of Honor, what has he done that's been kind of hardcore or street fight?
Chris, he was trained by DJ Hyde in CZW.
Jerome, don't break.
I think he's done some hardcore wrestling. I'm just saying.
You're killing this. This is Ring of Honor centric, Jerome. We don't talk about other places. But okay, so I mean, yeah, I agree with Ari and you, Jerome. I think it's going to be a great match. I'm going to say
I didn't say it was going to be a great match. I said it was going to be fine.
Ugh, Jerome, I'm trying to be nice here. Jeez.
I mean, I'll let you guys be happy. I could just be a curmudgeon over here. You guys bring the positivity. I'll be the curmudgeon. It's perfect.
And if only Matt Hardy was announced for Milwaukee. I wish Matt Hardy was announced for Milwaukee or Chicago.
I am so happy he's not, in fact.
I know, that's why I'm saying. So other than that, guys, is there anything else out of the TV that you can think of that we haven't talked about? I mean, that's pretty much it. It was only 3 episodes also. So, you know, because they've taped 12th anniversary. And they've, as you said, Ari, they're starting that on TV right now. So we've got quite a few.
I have a funny feeling Dayton is also, they're going to tape some TV in Dayton. If they're doing AJ Styles and Chris Hero...
Flying
high. Put all of Styles' matches on TV, which is not the worst idea in the world.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
So yeah, my hunch is that Styles and Hero is going to be on TV as well.
I would hope so. I mean, what would be the point?
I think we're looking at a Styles Elgin rematch at some point as well. I think that's a given. You know, it's
if
just
Styles can't put Elgin over though, I'm not a fan of having Elgin lose.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. Jerome, you voiced some opinions about this. Styles and Elgin going to a time limit draw. I mean, it's not a win.
Annoying. It's annoying that Styles, for whatever reason, apparently can't lose. So you're sort of, you know, he did a BS finish in Dreamwave with Christian Rose, did a BS finish in CZW with Drew Gulak.
Wasn't the thing with Christian Rose like a disqualification, like a runner?
I think it was a disqualification or something, but it was some sort of a schmoz ending. So, you know, I think I think there's value to having AJ Styles, but at the end of the day, if he's not going to put over Adam Cole and Michael Elgin, to me, I don't know what the purpose of really having those matches is, especially Cole in particular.
You know what? I might want to go out on a limb here. I think AJ Styles might win the Ring of Honor World title.
I think that's a very bad decision.
Maybe it is, but
it's a fine guess because that could happen. It's just it'd be a poor decision if they did that. But AJ Styles for a job for $1,500. Maybe.
What are you telling your roster when you give that guy the belt if he does win? I don't think that's a good message to send to your roster when a guy just walks in the door and wins your world title.
Hashtag
not that anybody else would do that, right, guys? No, what other company would do that?
I don't know. Hashtag Hot Jack Raw.
Hashtag Jerome has joined the decade. So, all right, guys, I think that's pretty much it. Obviously, still lots of news to come. See what matches we get from New Japan, but that's a long ways off. So we'll update you at pwfundings.com with all that information. So guys, let's get out for it. Let's get some plugs out of the way. Ari Berenstain, you have a renewed, emergence on the website. What do you have coming up?
I'm back, apparently. I am back to doing Column of Honors, actually. I have committed to doing two mini columns per week, and they come out on Saturdays and Wednesdays here on ProWrestlingPonderings.com. And so I've written about the 12th anniversary show, and I've written about the New Japan crossover that's happening. I've written about my experiences, my thoughts about Styles and Hero coming back. And so coming up on Wednesday is a closer look at the Ringmaster's Challenge and why it's not such a bad deal that that match stipulation has been brought back. Jerome is giggling there. But, stay tuned for that. And then right after that, the next one is sort of a comparison of the 12th and 11th anniversary shows to sort of see what happens when you stack them up and compare the two. And so check those out. Also on the Indie Corner podcast, I did a exclusive 12th anniversary review for Stu Rogers there. So check that out at the Indie Corner. And you can catch me on Twitter at Ari Berenstain, ARIBERENSTEIN. So there you go. A lot of stuff for me this time around.
Well done, Ari. Well done. Jerome. Lazy senior editor that you are, what do you have coming up?
Hey, I've been co-opting people into writing for the website. I've been using my Paul Heyman like influence to bring people like Ari Berenstain, Justin Houston, Matt Waters back into the fold as writers for PW Ponderings. That's what I've been doing, Chris. I've been bringing the content indirectly by getting in Ari Berenstain to do the little columns of honor. You know, I love the Column of Honor, but I think the mini ones will serve everyone well, particularly Ari. So it'll be a lot harder for him to get burned out, I think.
Yes,
right?
Yes. It's like having a little bit of chocolate as opposed to a huge chocolate bar.
Are we gonna bring back the Hero the Chris Hero, the fake Chris Hero? Are we gonna bring that back?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I think that's probably going to stay in the archives. Yeah.
Fair enough. Matt Waters is now going to be doing PWG DVD reviews. He's got All-Star Weekends 10, Nights 1 and 2 up. Justin Houston, every Monday we'll be doing our uncensored column called Rubbed Raw. It's Justin Houston being Justin Houston. It's out right now, actually, as we speak. It's up as we speak. This is his second straight week of column writing, back on the website. And basically what he does is he writes about Raw and then he, sort of has a random rant. It's not going to necessarily be pertaining to indie wrestling, but Justin Houston has a very unique voice that I'm glad is back on the website writing. We also have a number of other new writers. Dave Muscarella is going to be doing women's wrestling reviews. You can check out his Shine 17 review that is up on the website now. He'll also be reviewing WSU, Shimmer, and all of the Shine shows from here forth. Alexandria Torres will be doing AEW DVD reviews. She will also be doing the Roku show that starts this Wednesday, March the 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central. AEW will be premiering on the Roku station, Maddie GTV, as well as their YouTube channel. So if you have a Roku channel, guys, it is going to be easier to access AEW on your television on a weekly basis than Ring of Honor. So just think about that for a second.
Just did.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for humoring me there. And we also welcoming in Derek Walker. He will be doing some wrestling blogging for us. And we'll be writing live AEW reports. He goes to the AEW shows just as I do. And he will be doing some live reports for us on those shows. And Chris, I haven't told you yet, but I'm going to be recording an AEW-specific podcast with both Alexandria and Derek later this week, just as we have, of course, the podcast of Honor, and we have Eva Chikar. We will be going to be starting an AEW podcast that is going to go up about once a month, just like we do for these two shows. And of course, we have the big TV show to discuss, the upcoming 10th anniversary show for AEW, as well as their debut in Pontiac, Illinois. And there's enough room, I think, to really justify doing this. So,
what's the big name of the podcast?
That's going to be part of the fun, is we have to name it.
Mm.
So we're going to crowdsource the naming of the show. So yeah, that's going to be a ton of fun, and hopefully you guys, both of you, do either of you have a Roku player?
I don't. I do not anymore, but that was because I bought like the second edition one and it was just so clunky. It didn't work out, but I'll probably purchase a fourth gen one somewhere down the line. So yeah, I'd be able
to watch
AEW.
Well, guys, got AEW to watch on a weekly basis, and it's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be great.
And that is Maddie GTV. Just search for it on the Roku. I mean, it is a really easy system to use. Obviously I have a Chromecast, but still it's pretty easy.
Yes.
AEW awesome.
What?
No.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Ari.
No.
You can also find me at twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing writing-wise for the site, but I will definitely be a part of the Podcast of Honor, doing the AEW podcast, and whatever else. With WrestleMania weekend coming up, it's going to be very busy, so I will most likely be doing some sort of live pay-per-view recaps. We still sort of have to put that all together. We have if our listeners and readers remember, last year we did sort of a one-stop shop for all of the shows in one article. That is the plan, to do that as well this year with Ring of Honor, the WWE Live Experience, and High Spots, WrestleMania, both New Japan pay-per-views, Wrestling is Fun is doing a Tag World Grand Prix, and ECWA is doing the Super 8. That's a lot of wrestling.
Oh, man. Yeah. And we got
everything in there, too.
Hey, I'm proud of you.
New Japan shows that weekend, everybody.
Yep. It's going to be busy. So, of course, I want to thank you all for listening. If you want to hear all of that audio and writing, check us out. You should be listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Please leave us a 4 or 5 star review to really help us out, get more listeners, get more fans listening to this show. We really appreciate that. Of course, follow us on all of our social media, twitter.com/PWPonderings and facebook.com/PWPonderings. And of course, we do have a Google Plus page if you want to use that. That'd be really great. We do have our links on the website for Amazon and High Spots. Please use those links. Help support the website and keep us doing what we can. Tons of wrestling reviews and columns. I think Jerome just ran down most of them, so go check this out at the main site, pwponderings.com. And of course, you can follow me at Twitter, twitter.com/CGSTong. That's CGSTONG. For Ari Berenstain and Jerome Cusone, this has been the Podcast of Honor. Thanks for listening. Have a good week.
Take a breath, guys. You're very good.